Well, hello. My name is Paul Roebuck, and I'll be presenting to you today about red flag property inspection guides. This is going to cover some things that we typically will see in an inspection, and this is going to be a six-part pre-recorded webinar that you can watch at your convenience. So it's nothing you have to sit and watch it one time. You can break it down, but it will be a six-part series that we'll be presenting for you. And I hope that you find some value in these presentations by watching. So let's get going here. Let me tell you just a little bit. Let's see if I get my slideshow going here. Again, my name is Paul Roebuck. I'm the TPRIA, which is Texas Professional Real Estate Inspector Association founding president. And now I'm with TPRIA Internati. I'm their Texas Education Director. I am a certified professional inspector with Internati. I'm also a certified master inspector, but my qualifications don't stop there. I've been in the inspection business for about 30 years now, and I've enjoyed my career as a home inspector, but not just home inspector. My talents have been shared in a lot of different ways as far as being an instructor, being a teacher, being a mentor, and doing commercial properties, and you name it, I probably have inspected them. So here's just a little bit of my qualification. You can see I am a residential commercial builder, have been in the past, a general contractor. I do have FHA, VA, HUD certifications as a compliant inspector. I am a 203K certified inspector. I have been expert witness, which I've gotten away from because I don't enjoy doing those type of things. I'm a building code professional with the International Code Council, ICC. And I'm also have my, you see my five code certs here for residential. The last one is a combination inspector that includes all the four topics that you see here on the above that screen. So if you're not an ICC certified inspector, I would strongly urge you to consider looking into that. I do know that Internati has some class training online to become the ICC certified building inspector to prep you for going out and taking that test. One of the first things you want to do is buy the code book. You can buy it from iccsafe.org and get your code book that has a commentary in it. The commentary is where they go in and actually explain what they meant by some of the codes and the way it's written. So that would be advantageous for you to look at and get used to being able to see what's there. So what is your job description as a home inspector? Well, excuse me. We look for deficiencies in homes. We have to report what we see at the time of the inspection. We can't forecast how long that roof's going to last, or will my slab stay this condition, or what will happen to it. That's not our job. All we can do is report the condition that we find on the day of the inspection. We report what we inspected, and it's as important sometimes to report what you didn't inspect. And what I mean for that is, you know, we report that we inspect the attic space. Well, can you actually really always inspect all of the attic space? Obviously not. I mean, the eaves of the roofs get down pretty small. Some of the attic space is not accessible. And we only go to the parts where we have a safe walk passage, what we call a catwalk. We can take a bright light and look. We can see a majority of the attic, but we can't see all of it. So sometimes you report what you can't see. Another example would be maybe a roof. If it's a three-story building, can you really see all four corners of that roof? Probably not. So you have to report what you saw and what you didn't see in that case. We report on what is actually not readily accessible or visible. In other words, just for safety, if you find a bath trap, let's say, that there's no opening to look underneath that bathtub, see the P-trap area, probably a good idea to just note on your report and take a picture with it. I could not access the drains or underneath the bathtub in this particular location. It could come back and save you a lot of time in the future as far as, yeah, somebody else cut a hole in there and then they found mold underneath the tub. You didn't see it because it wasn't accessible. So just a slight note on your report makes it that much easier for you to defend yourself if something like it were to come up. So what is a red flag? A red flag is a visual sign or indication of a defect in a structure or property. And here are some examples that you'll probably see on inspections. Cracks in the interior or exterior walls. Cracks are missing mortar. Sometimes mortar is just not put on very well. It's not mixed right, so you'll have mortar cracks. And sometimes that doesn't indicate a structural issue other than it just being a bad mix on the mortar when the bricks were installed. Cracked, broken, damaged, or loose bricks. You know, some of these could indicate serious problems. Some of them could just be cosmetic. But it's important that you note them on your report. As I said, if you just keep in mind, if you're doing your inspection, you are a reporter. You're going to report what you see. That's her job. Don't try to make stuff up. Don't try to go overboard on it. You don't have to go into explanations of telling people, well, I think this is what caused that problem. Or, look, this is how you fix it. You know, it's just a minor correction. Don't do that. Those type of comments is what gets inspectors into trouble. So, you know, if we just go on and talk about what we actually see and report our findings, that is the job as a home inspector. Separation at the freeze board. This could indicate foundation issues. This is a board at the top of a brick veneer wall underneath the cornice section or the soffit, whatever you want to call it. And that separation could be an indicator that there is some foundation movement going on. And at that stage, you start looking for other indicators of what would cause problems, such as a foundation movement. But vertical and horizontal cracks in foundations. Some foundation will have cracks in it. I had someone just recently tell me they pulled the carpet out of their house, and it was an inspector telling me this, pulled the carpet out of their house, and there was cracks all in the foundation. He was so concerned that his slab was just cracking and coming apart, and I had to politely just tell the person that, no, that's not foundation failure. Those little dry cracks that happen as the concrete cures, you'll get those cracks. So most times when someone, a homeowner in particular, pulls up the carpet or floor covering, they'll find those cracks in a slab like that. They're just little hairline cracks. They aren't deep. They aren't anything to be concerned about. But they are scary to a homeowner because they think of the words crack foundation, and that's what they think of. So sometimes we have to put it in perspective for the consumer. But some cracks, if you see one on each side of the house and similar to the same location you saw, say, on the left side of the house, the right side of the house, or the front or the back, it could be a crack that goes all the way through the slab from front to back. That would be something very much so worth noting. If you have post-tension foundations in your area, and I know this webinar can go nationwide, and I'm in the Houston market, so the southern states have a lot of what we call slab on grades, and other states do too, but we have very few basements in our area. But we use post-tension foundations a lot here. The purpose of that, we use it, it's a cheap, inexpensive method, or I should just say a cheaper method of foundations than an actual slab on grade with rebar installed in it. And I'll show you some pictures of post-tension slabs later on during our presentations. And give you an example of what it is. Just in case you don't know, I'll make it, you know, clear for you what they are and what to look for. They're more common than what you think. As you walk a house, though, you may find some sloping or sagging floors. A lot of times, as I walk through a house, I could feel the slope or sagging floors by walking on it. I can tell you, I've had as many as 10 inspectors with me at one time in a house, and two of us may have noted the slope by walking it. The others couldn't feel it no matter what they did as far as physical walking frontwards or backwards or whatever. They could not feel the slope. So it's not that everyone has that capability of feeling it. Not that we're special, just something that throws off our equilibrium, I believe. But, you know, if you feel or see a slope or a sagging floor, that's an indicator that there could be some problems. Not all sloping floors indicate that there is a foundation issue, but because we don't know the history of when this house was built or how the slab was when it was first originally placed, it may have been poured wrong. I have found them anywhere from 3 inches to 12 inches off at the time of installing the concrete. So some of this poor quality control and really poor workmanship. You say 12 inches? Yeah, 12 inches. I'll give you the story on behind the thing so to put it in perspective. It was a David Weekley home. Clients called me and said, Paul, I need you to come out and look at my foundation. This was a buyer. He said, I think something's wrong. The framers were having to add boards to the frame at the back of the house to try to make the framing even. So I said, yeah, I'll come out and look. Well, I walk out and you won't believe it, but I'm telling you the truth on this. The framers were actually adding a 12-inch piece of 2x4, scabbing it onto the 8-foot studs and tying them together to try to elevate or make the wall level. Well, obviously I told them to stop. Don't keep going. Went and got the building superintendent and said, look, you need to stop this on this house. This house is messed up. So the builder didn't like what I had to tell him. Didn't think I had a position to tell him that, but the client had hired me. So I was a building official for the client. And I told him, I said, you need to stop. So they stopped. The next thing we knew, they bulldozed the entire slab because they couldn't fix it. They had to start all over. So sometimes you just have to speak the truth and stand on what you see. Another sign you'd be looking for, if there's doors that leak, that stick, or they just don't close properly, if they're misaligned, sometimes that indicates foundation issues, structural issues. Other times it's just a door out of whack that somebody didn't install correctly. Billy Bob may have came and put the door in, didn't have a level, and just thought, yeah, it looks okay to me, and the door never worked right since. Fresh paint and floor covering, that's always a good one for me, because when I walk into a property and see everything's freshly painted, new floor coverings, it looks ideally perfect for you. I get a little worried about that because I'm wondering at that stage, what is it that the sellers are trying to cover up? So instead of thinking, oh, this is going to be an easy job, we'll get through with this and go on to the next one. No, that's a red flag item, guys. And that's whenever you want to stop and say, hey, I better look close because they may have covered something up. I don't want to miss it. So just be careful on fresh paint and floor covering. Remember that story. Here's a little example. Talked about brick cracks. You can see the brick cracks here. You see the stair step staggers on the left side and on the bottom of that window. That's an indication of foundation movement. Whenever you see this, if you take and look at the, let's see if I got a pin here on point. Let's see, my mouse spotlight. Give me a second. Let me look. I'm going to do an arrow here. You tell me if it shows. But right here, if you see this brick separating from this window frame on any section of the house, if the caulking's there, you see the caulking's pulled away, that's going to indicate you've got some movement going on that foundation. So that would be a red flag for you to look at. But these stair step designs and the bricks here that's coming apart, that's where there's been some movement. Something's been shifting on that house, and that would be a time to stop and look and see if you can see something that's different and maybe an issue that's there. But remember, look at these sections, look at these. And then you want to look at these. Always take a picture, include those comments, include those pictures in your report, and recommend further evaluation by a qualified professional. It's in your best interest to do that. Okay, here's another one here. Show you some more examples here. And apparently this is going to stay on me as long as I do that. It's going to show it. So anyway, this is another brick wall. You can see how this is done. This definitely would indicate some foundation movement on you. So that would be something you start looking not only at that, but you'd be looking further in the house, seeing other things going on, and see what other indicators you'd find in the house to prove that there are some foundation issues. Again, I would tell you immediately, this is a red flag. You're going to recommend a further evaluation by a qualified professional, be it a structural engineer or be it a foundation repair contractor. And I'm cautious when I say a foundation repair contractor, because what happens when you refer a foundation contractor, they're in the business of selling foundation repairs. So what they will do, they will come in and at a certain time, if you call them and say, well, I got foundation issues, or maybe I got cracks, I think there's foundation movement. they will come in and then they will begin to sell you some repairs, whether you need them or not. They want to give you those type of repairs. So be careful if you recommend somebody. That's why I say a structural engineer. They're not always the correct one either, but at least they would be one that could tell them how to fix the thing if there's issues with it. But the main object of it is you reported what you've seen and you're safe on it. Someone's not going to come back and file a lawsuit against you because you reported something and recommended further evaluation. Better to do that than not say a word and then it come up being a major issue once your clients bought the house, moved into it, and found out, hey, I wish my inspector had told me there was foundation issues. He has pictures in his report showing all kind of indicators. Or he didn't put pictures in the report, didn't say a word about it, but it was here. I've got pictures before I bought the house. Then you're in trouble. So be careful. Remember, report what you see. Okay, I'm froze up here again. Let's see if I can undo this thing and get going again. There you go. Here's another one. Yeah, when you put your hand in the wall there, maybe your arm, that's definitely a foundation issue. So, you know, this one's pretty well set out there. I mean, this is something I think 99.9% of inspectors would probably write up as some type of structural issue and recommend further evaluation. At least I hope that you would. If not, you probably won't be in this business long or, I don't know, but yeah, write what you see. Okay. We talked about the post-tension foundation earlier, and some of you may not know what these are, may not even know they exist. But if you walk around a house that has a concrete foundation and you see a little circle areas, if you can tell it kind of about the size of a tennis ball. And inside here is a piece of rebar, or not rebar, but it's a steel cable. We call them post tension tenders. If this thing is on one end, you have a live load, which is where they pull and stress the cable after the foundation poured. But I think it's within like 3 days they will pull.